WZM. You around, Patrick?
ACX, what's up, Daniel?
Gonna go get my DOT physical done since it expires in less than 60 days.
Daniel, just so you know, you're sounding like a robot again.
Any better?
Yeah, still got the scratch with you, but I can hear you now.
Buddy, you might have less scratch now. I just a little bit.
Earlier that you said your license expires within 60 days or something like that?
Keep physical does. I gotta go get that redone now.
Get mine done too. It's coming up.
Out here today, real cold.
Tackle.
No, I'm headed towards Powdersville right now.
It's chilly out there. Especially riding that in the wind, cold air.
Clothes are not even a little bit cold. Glove off to reset my helmet to get the robot sound to go away. I just turned my helmet off and back on and it went away. So, with that right there, just that sort of burst of wind on my hands, it felt so cold. Well, I have ski gloves on, and they help out a lot.
Doesn't take much to make them hands cold when it's cold and windy like that.
Especially when it's this windy. 60 mile an hour wind.
Well, if it's me or you, but I couldn't make out that last transmission.
A lot of noise on you right now on my traffic light. I think I've got a good signal, though.
I'm not back out to 26 yet, so I'll go ahead and say 73s for now. You be careful out there. I'll talk to you on down the log. KO4HKX, and I'm clear.
Good talking to you. I'm headed towards Easley and then towards Powdersville. I'll talk to you later on down the log. You have a safe trip back home. We'll talk to you later. KO4HKX, KJ4WZM, 73. Still around, mobile.
This is WRON. I have you signed in. Over.
WD8RON, Kilo 9 Foxtrot Mike Zulu. Over. WD8RON, Kilo 9 Foxtrot Mike Zulu. Over.
I'm hearing you good. I'm trying to figure out exactly how to use all this. All of them, I think, have them figured out now. So it looks like we finally just figured out and found one we can use.
Sounds good. We're getting the hang of it. It's nice to connect through the repeater. Over.
My question is whether anybody listening to the repeater can just would assume to the Hendersonville one yet. I want to try.
I don't know whether the Hendersonville one, the 146-600 one, is equipped for EchoLink. Not, that would be my only hesitation on that. Over.
I think the one on 6 is hooked up to a link on their net.
It's worth a try. Over.
I may try it tonight. They all have the EchoLink people sign in first, and I can usually hear them, but I'm sure they don't seem to stick around, so I'm not sure how they can monitor them. Over.
So is that frequency 146.610? Over.
That's correct. I don't think I have a, let me check downstairs and see if I have any more information on it. Because they have pretty good nets with 50 people. I'm on the way down now. I got a new incubator heated, but it was 30-something. So I just got a new one. 446.610. No tone. And it's a Blue Ridge. Oh, that's in South Carolina. So I'm not sure. There's another one in Boer. That's 1T and no tone. They have a PM. The Blue Ridge has a daily at 9 PM. So that one might be good. And then there's a Henderson County. Oh, here it is. 146640 for Yankee Kilo with the tone. You're familiar with that one, but I don't know if they are hooked up to this system. Over.
I don't know either. I kind of doubt it because I haven't heard people say EchoLink when they check in. But those others are nice because Randy, who does the testing for West Cars, his wife told me there's a more...
He dropped out. There's another one. 14912. And that's the same as the West Cars.
Yeah, Randy at West Cars, his wife was telling me, I was at their breakfast last week, she said that at West Cars that Monday morning at 9 a.m. hosted by a woman, she thought I'd enjoy it, but I wasn't able to access it with my 2-meter antenna from home. So with EchoLink, I should be able to join it. Thanks for finding that. Over.
Yeah, that one is, I don't think I've checked into that one on the morning, but times. There are people on it. The Blue Ridge Track usually has a midnight, just that you'll be able to pick up. It's down in South Carolina, but I pick it up behind mountains usually. There's another one on 145.190. I went down my list here. And 146760, I think, might be at them. And there's a couple able to check in. Let's see, 145190. There's Thursday, 30 to South Carolina. And I think that's, I don't know, that's American Legion net. And the other one is that I've, my new reel, I've got power 20 watts now. I'm going to try a couple of these. Still learning the buttons on this thing, but I think it's worked out pretty good. Over.
For all of this information, Ed. Now that you're getting familiar with EchoLink, are you going to try contacting a ham in England or New Zealand, Australia, someplace like that? Over.
I might try that after I get used to it. I want to try some of the repeaters here, see if they're nets, and then I might try somebody overseas. If you're on video on 10 and 190, there are people talking on the this is 610. They're just shooting a breeze, I think. But that might be one you might try to monitor. Over.
Thanks. Over.
There's another November 4 station. Looks like he's there. Maybe we can talk to him. November 4 station, this is WD8RON. Can you join us on EchoLink? Oh. Dropped out. Well, we've got this thing working now. We can play with it. Thanks for helping me figure it out, and we'll try it some more. I assume you have to schedule getting on if you just call someone. I'm not sure if they receive a notice of some kind or some kind of signal. How does that work? Over.
Okay. When I find a ham, you know, the icon of a person, I know it's a person, not a repeater, and it doesn't say not connected, then you can tap on their call sign and transmit to them or connect to them. And then they usually, sometimes I've connected and I'm thinking, what do I do next? And they call me, you know, K9FMZ, are you trying to call me? So you don't have to go through a repeater necessarily on these foreign ones. And, I don't know if the other party that's listed, Dave, on the, this repeater with us, I wonder if he's the repeater owner because it has the repeater's call sign and then his name and then another call sign. Over.
I would have the owner or the one left. I know he's got a couple, so I would, runs it. I'm going to have to try it with others, but apparently you can connect and just with somebody else who's going to connect it to monitor it, just like I monitor the 2-meter. I've got it hooked up to scan the 4 years so I can listen to whatever's going on there.
I might try monitoring a repeater on Echolink. I like that idea. I guess I'll sign off now. I need to get back. I'm studying for the volunteer examiner, whatever, classification through ARRL. So I need to get back to my studying, but I'm so glad we could get this to work. Over.
I thought I'd try one more thing. I'm going to call CQ on it and see if anybody's listening. Anybody on the repeater, use the Echo Link.
KJ4WZM, Kilo Juliet 4, Whiskey Blue Mike. I'm on the repeater, I'm not on Echo Link. But it sounds like y'all are new through the repeater, so I just wanted to give you a little bit of a story about it. It's owned by the Blue Ridge Amateur Radio Society. And the guy who kind of works on keeping the repeater's internet network up, his name is Dave. His call sign is W4DJW. That's probably what you were seeing on there. He doesn't own the repeater, but he does keep it up and running as far as the internet side of it goes.
Well, thanks for guys. Like your vehicle moving, trouble to understand. So I appreciate we're figuring out just works. Any other information you can give us as far as using the Echo Link? We're both kind of new. Over. This is WDRON. You're garbled and not understandable. You are breaking it again. Over.
WZM, am I making it now?
It's a little somewhat garbled. Over.
K4WZM, clear.
Well, since I was into it at that time, if you look, you got a little picket fence and you're still on the motorcycle, it's 4DJC.
We're just trying to let them know about the repeater, and I'm kind of down in the hole here. I'm easily on the HT, so, not making it in too good. I've been mobile on my motorcycle, but I'm about to I have a couple little destinations in this area, and then I'll be back on the road again. N4DJC and the group KJ4WZM.
Better percent that time. It had some white noise in the background, but the WD9 station, you're kind of in and out on the link. And as the other station was coming, this repeater is located on top of a TV tower. It's about 2,500 feet above sea level in the northern part of Greenville County, South Carolina, almost on the, I think it's about 2 miles from North Carolina state line. So it's a wide area covering the repeater. And whenever you come in on Echo Link, anybody that's on the repeater can hear you. So, and you should be able to hear anybody that's on the repeater QSL.
HKX, Jerry, you still there?
How you doing this morning?
I'm on my way back from Lawrence down here, my monthly trip down there.
This morning, do you have any trouble getting off the mountain?
Cool. I was off. How are you doing in a couple of days?
I wanted to mention to you, too, if you, sometime in the future, if you got time, if you want to try a D-Star on through. If you got a local D-Star repeater up in your area, I can get into it from here by my hotspot. If you want to try it sometime, you know, we might set up a schedule so if you can get into it, see if you can hear me and vice versa. Go through the local, you know, just go through that either Hendersonville or Tryon or whichever's closer for you. And I should be able to get into it from here on my hotspot.
There's a D-Star repeater in Hendersonville. I haven't looked.
There's one listed in Hendersonville. I don't know exactly where it's located. I have to look that up. There's also one in Tryon as well. And I've been able to get into one in Tryon on my HT sometimes when I'm in Greenville. But I can't reach it here direct, so I have to get through my hotspot in order to get it. But there's one in Hendersonville. I don't know. What I'll do is later on this afternoon, I'll bring it up to see if I can't... Because it'll give me it'll give you like an echo back. It shows you where you got into the repeater or not. And I'll check it out to see if it's operational. It may or may not be operational.
good, Jerry. I was going to ask you if you got that new radio yet.
See, as a matter of fact, it came in Monday, I think it came in the Tuesday after Christmas. It was a little bit late coming in. I didn't think I was going to get it. I didn't think I got in on time, but I got the 52A. It's really working good. I like it. I've got the 74 I use, you know, for a lot of things. Also, D-Star. But I like the 52. You know, the Icon is just a more solid radio. It's sealed. You can drop it in a glass of water. It's sealed up good. The batteries fit good. And the whole battery life is really good. It's, I don't know how good it is on analog, because I hadn't tried it much, but everybody said the signal ports are pretty good. It's a beefy little radio. It's just too dang expensive.
Looking at that, $649 or something like that?
They were announced, they should have been around $500, which is about the normal price for that type of radio. And but it just, you know, with all this COVID stuff and the delay, yeah, they just had to pay so much more to get them here, and they got held back for almost a year. It was over a year. I was on the list since October of 2020. So it was over a year before I could get one. So I said, I'd already paid my deposit up front. And I said, well, I'll go ahead and do it anyway. I'd wait that long. I'd wait a little bit further along, but I didn't have anything else. Of course, I got a 705 here I'm using now. I can use it for D-Star. The only other handheld is my D-74. And, you know, they're not making those anymore, so if anything happens to that thing, I don't know how easy it'd be to get it repaired.
Did you say a D-74? That's the Kenwood handheld, correct?
I've had one of those for a couple of years now, and it operates on D-Star as well, in addition to doing APRS and all the other stuff. It's a nice radio, but they discontinued that thing back in December of 2020. So, even though mine's, you know, I don't use mine outside the house much at all, but if anything happens to that one, I'm not real sure if it'll hardly be to get it repaired, because Kenwood doesn't repair their own radios anymore. They do it, they outsource it to somebody else now.
I don't know, but I'd heard, and I've, you know, done what research I could, but Kenwood was getting out of the amateur radio part of it, at least on the everything but the HF, that was what I heard, but I'm not sure. And I can't find anything to corroborate it. So maybe you know more than I do.
So the Kenwood USA, the guys that were all amateur radio stuff for Kenwood USA is a good friend of mine. I've known him for about 25 years. And I haven't been able to get anything out of him, yay or nay, on it, but my understanding is that they just couldn't get the semiconductors, so they have a matter of fact, they're not offering any new stuff, any of the 2 meter stuff. The HF stuff they're still doing, and you can get in, because there's generally a waiting list on it. But any of the 2 meter mobile stuff, you know, UHF, VHF mobile stuff or handheld stuff is basically been discontinued for the time being. Whether or not they'll come back in with something else, I don't know. But, you know, he's not saying anything. But I also know the sales manager for HRO, the national sales manager for HRO, is a guy I've known for years, too. He doesn't know how much longer they'll last as far as HF, I mean, as far as other stuff. But they're still in the HF business, as you said. But there's been no official announcement, and they won't say anything one way or the other. I do know that the D-74 had some components on it that they could not get anywhere else. And they made about 50 or 60 radios late 2020 or early 2021. And that was the last batch of D-74s they sold. And those things were selling for over $700 then. But, you know, it's a radio. You can't, there's not any other radios out there that'll do everything you'll do. It's just not as, I don't think it's as durable as like the Icon 52 is. And if you don't need APRS, the 52 is the way to go. But again, it's probably about $100 too expensive, in my opinion. But I bid on it anyway.
I had APRS on it.
These stars have what they call DPRS on it, which is a location, but it's not the same as APRS. It's a location deal where it gives location and you can track it, but it's not APRS, and you can't, you know, you can send and receive messages on it, but it's not a, to be frank with you, they use it a lot in Europe and Japan, and, you know, ICOM builds radios for the Japanese market mostly, and they adapt them to the U.S. market. Whereas Kenwood makes this for the exclusive, the Kenwood USA radios are all made for the U.S. market, but and they're marketed overseas in Europe, but the ones in Japan are, you know, ICOM is strictly Japanese stuff, and they, you know, the owner, the guy that heads up ICOM, he's a ham, and, you know, after he's gone, who knows what they'll do, but, you know, ICOM has always, you know, when I say always, but the last 5-6 years, a lot of their radios have been more geared for the Japanese market than the American market. Because GPRS is just something we don't, you know, other than the United States.
I was thinking it had the APRS on it, but I guess I was wrong.
No ICOM radio has APRS native. You know, you have to add it as, you know, add it with a computer program or, you know, or, you know, that sort of thing. But it just doesn't have APRS built in, which makes it, you know, for satellite stuff, for APRS, like most people use it, it's not usable for that. But, it, you know, people complain, so, well, it doesn't have APRS. So, well, ICOM has never had a radio that had APRS native to it. So, you know, you shouldn't be prepared for it. But the DPRS is a digital version of it. And it does work on D-Star, and you can, it's got some other limited uses, but it's not quite as versatile as APRS is. But APRS is, you know, that's what, really right now, a few satellites that still use APRS, and ISS does, Spaceship Station does, but one of the satellites that's been up a long time is decayed from orbit now. It's the old, I think it's NO84, it was a, PSAT or something like that. I can't remember the exact terminology for it, but it's been up for years, 5 or 6 years now, but it decayed from orbit and it's not operating anymore, basically. So that leaves you down maybe on a couple, and the only one that's available on a semi-regular basis is the one that's on the space station.
Into something I haven't got my feet wet in yet, and that's the satellite stuff. I don't know nothing about it.
100 that you got is perfect for it, really. It's the truth. The ICOM 52 and all of the ICOM handhelds are not, most of them, a couple of them, the old ones that will, but it's not a full duplex radio, but the 5100 is. And plus with D-Star, you know, that gives you access to. Yeah, there's actually the AO-27, it can be used on analog or D-Star, and people don't know that, but it's the 5100, a real popular radio for satellite, used for FM satellite voice, because it's got plenty of power. For one thing, you can run 25 watts with it or 15 watts with it, which gives you a little bit of benefit, plus it's full duplex, so you can hear yourself on the downlink. And a lot of people just use it with a vertical antenna, Patrick. So it's something worth, you know, worth getting into. It's not complicated at all.
I have to look into it a little bit. I've jumped into so many avenues in this hobby already that I don't know which way I'm going.
It's kind of like a rabbit hole. Once you go down that rabbit hole, there's no coming out of it. And it branches off. You get off in one direction and branch off in another direction before you turn around. Get it. It's a lot more complex than it was when I started out. You just had HF and VHF and a couple of satellites, but people didn't use them on a regular basis, and there was no digital, like DMR or D-Star or Fusion or this other stuff then. And most of the time, most repeaters didn't have a tone on them, so most of the radios didn't come equipped with so you couldn't use a PL tone.
KM4VWA.
That's trouble.
About the satellite, and is that mostly done on 2 meter, Jerry?
Or set up where you have like either a 2 meter or 440 uplink and reverse downlink. Like for instance, the International Space Station is a 2 meter uplink with a tone, and it's a 440 downlink. It goes up on I think it's 145.990 with a field tone of 67, and the downlink is like 435 or 7.795, and you have to tune it for Doppler as it comes. You know, when it starts coming across the sky, you know, the Doppler shift means you have to, instead of listening on 7.95, you have to tune the receiving end of it separately, and that's where a full duplex radio helps, because you can tune it Doppler without changing the Doppler on the uplink, because the Doppler on 2 meters is not as much as it is on 440. And there are some that do vice versa, but you know, there are a lot of FM satellites out there, so you can do it with a 2 meter 440 base rig, or even a handheld if you use a handheld type beam antenna.
Colleen, to come in and step on you, I got a couple more questions.
Oh, go ahead. I'm just listening. KO4HK.
Well, Jerry, I've got a Yaesu FT, I believe it's a 736, and it's a 2 meter 440 that has sideband capability for those two bands, and it's an older base type radio, but the guy that I got it from was using it for satellite. And with it, I got a Yaesu rotator that does azimuth and elevation, but I don't know enough about it to do anything with it.
That was a good satellite rig. And, you know, it's one of the people still use those, Steve, because there's not much else out there right now. I think ICOM, the 9700, is the only one that's comparable to it. And even then, it's not quite the same as the 736. But if you got the Yaesu rotator and so forth, you know, that's worth $1,000 at least. If you have the control box with it, people use those things, Steve. And the thing with the 736 is, since it'll do sideband, there are a couple of sideband satellites too. They're called linear satellites, and you can move up and down the band on them, and you don't have to. The other satellites just use, the FM satellites use one frequency, but it does change a little bit due to the Doppler. But the linear satellites, like the Russian ones, you can work, you know, into Europe with those, especially with a setup like that. Most people use it's called M2 antenna LEO pack. And what that is, that's got your two antennas and your phasing and all that sort of thing. The antenna setup's about $500 or so. But so you got the biggest part of it is having those rotors, because you can set it up with a computer control program, and those rotors will actually, they will track the satellite as it crosses the sky. Now Dave has set up one on his own at one time. I don't think he's doing it now, but that, you set up a computer control on that radio, you know, on those rotors, and it'll track the Doppler and track the satellite at the same time. It'll move the beam up or down as it goes across.
And with that package, I also got a 440 beam. I'm just using it as a 2 meter base. I guess I didn't realize just what all I got with that thing when I bought it. Well, I don't know that I'd ever do satellite, so what do you think something like that would be worth?
The radio has been, you know, depending on the age of the radio, they're worth, the radio itself would probably bring $600 or $700, unless it's had some problems or anything like that. But, you know, those older radios, sometimes they have to be recapped, and somebody would have to take a look inside if it needs to do that. But the rotors themselves, Steve, for instance, Yaesu rotor and controller set up like that, it's probably around $800, and people don't discount them much. They rebuild them, you know, when they wear out. But if it's operational, you know, the rotor setup itself is probably worth $500.
Well, I wouldn't ask anything near that. Well, I need to really go ahead and look into this thing and see what all I've got and what the capabilities are. Hey, Patrick, if you're interested in it, I might be talked into just swapping out for a good mobile 2 meter 440 radio for the whole thing. Because, like I said, I don't know enough about it to do anything with it. Well, anyhow, Jerry, I appreciate you talking to me about that thing. I do need to go ahead and dig in on this and see just what the capabilities are and all that good stuff. And presented to me as being fully functional and ready to go. So, man. Well, anyhow, I appreciate you guys letting me butt in. Patrick, are you having a pretty good day?
I'm making the drive back home from going down to the Michelin test track. Takes me about 2 hours, so I'm coming up 26 now.
I heard you get relayed in on the Monday night net for thermal belt. I seem to be hitting that thing pretty solid from my house. That sounds like a good bunch of folks over there.
I've met, all been real nice, and we'll see how it goes. That's all we can do.
You know, on the website it says that they help with that Mount Mitchell bicycle climb every year. I don't think they've had it the last year or two, but shoot, I'd like to get involved in that. Just sounds like it'd be fun one year. So, well, anyhow, Jerry, I appreciate the information. Would you mind if I called on you sometime to kind of educate me a little bit more?
Say, I'd be glad to help. My email address is good on QRZ. You can send me an email, and I'll send you an email back, my phone number. You can call me sometime if you want to, or text or whatever. But it's, like I said, those prices are kind of probably rough. But so a lot of people are getting interested in satellites now. And some of that stuff is hard to come at. That 736 was a real popular satellite rig in its day. As I said, I just don't know about getting repaired and that sort of thing. So that radio is probably, it's probably 15 or 20 years old, maybe. I don't know for sure. And somebody with more knowledge about it. I just remember when it came out, I wanted one years ago, but I didn't have the space for one, nor did I have the space or the money for the antennas and controllers and so forth. But the controllers, the rotors and stuff are pretty valuable. I'd say, I don't know whether that's a good price or not, but I know that a new one, by the time you get a new one, it's around $800 or so just for the rotors, I think. And I'm not real sure if that includes the controller or not. But and the antennas, that might be worth something or not, who knows. But the radio is used. Well, I said it may not be worth that much, but it's worth enough to pursue either using it or maybe passing along somebody that's interested in satellites and wants to get started out for a reasonable price.
Like I said, if I decide to get into the satellite, I'm going to hang on to this thing, and I've got to make that decision. But if I decide to get out, I got it at the right price. So if somebody wants to get into satellite, I'd pass it along at the right price, probably for the cost of, all of that, for the cost of a new 2 meter 440 rig. So, well, anyhow, just food for thought, something to kick around, and something else to study on a new technical manual. Hey, y'all have a good day. Patrick, I really appreciate you letting me jump in there and interrupt. And, Jerry, I just don't know, bud. Try to stay out of trouble. KN4 VWA, y'all carry on.
Well, see you, Steve. I got to jump out of here, too. My wife is hungry. She's starting to look at me like I've got to go get something to eat. But I will. You guys have a good day. And, Patrick, you have a real safe trip going heading back into that. I'll probably talk to you later on this afternoon, but... Well, I'm going to see if I can get in that D-Star Hendersonville repeater sometime later on this afternoon. I'll get back with you. But you have a great day, both of you. 73, N4DJC.
Steve, 73 and Jerry. Good to talk to both of you. KO4 HKX, and I'll be clear and monitoring. 73.